If you're a regular listener of this show, you've heard me say many, many times that we are turning into a nanny state. We have far too many people asking our government to take care of us because we can't do it ourselves. Many of the themes that I have discussed over and over again on this show also show up in a terrific new book by David Harsanyi, who is a columnist for the Denver Post, and the book is aptly titled Nanny State. But I love the subtitle of this book, How Food Fascists, Teetotaling Do-Gooders, Priggish Moralists, and Other Boneheaded Bureaucrats Are Turning America into a Nation of Children. David, welcome to KMOX.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. And by the way, congratulations to you and the rest of your fellow Denverites. Is that the right word? Are you Denverites?
Yes, we are, I think.
Congratulations on being named once again by Men's Health the drunkest city in America.
We're proud. We're very proud of it.
I'm sure there are people there who want to do something about that because the government has to tell people not to drink, don't they?
Yeah, well, that's ongoing, even if we were number 50 on that list or 100. So,
you ask in the book, when did we lose our right to be lazy, unhealthy, and politically incorrect? So I'll ask you that very question.
Well, actually, it's so incrementally sort of attacked us that there is no defining point for that. I think you can go back to the seatbelt laws and helmet laws as the first time, whether you agree with them or not, the government in the modern era came into our lives and said, you're too dumb to take care of yourself, and we're going to make you do it. And since then, it's only grown, and it gets faster and faster. And I think now hopefully we're reaching a tipping point. It's here, and we'll see how it goes. But I'm pretty pessimistic about the future.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you see some sort of indication that that's the case?
No, I don't, actually. I mean, you know, there's a lot of interest in this topic, but the problem is everyone has a pet issue that they're annoyed that government's in their life, but then they'll have a caveat and say, well, it's okay when it comes to smoking or some other issue. So it's very hard to get everyone on board and say, you know, we don't need government taking care of us like a parent takes care of a child.
Let's go back to the seatbelt laws. Here in Missouri and Illinois, we kind of have the bi-state is broken in two, where Illinois has a primary seatbelt law where the officers can pull you over just for having your seatbelt unbuckled while you're driving, as opposed to Missouri, where they have to stop you for something else, a broken taillight or speeding or weaving or whatever it is, and then they can add on an extra $10 ticket for not having your seatbelt buckled, and boy, that $10 is going to be a deterrent, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't. You know, the government takes credit for saving, I don't know how many lives, 30,000 lives a year, or some huge number, because of seatbelt laws. I don't think you can quantify that. I think that I put a seatbelt on. I put it on myself, on my children, out of self-preservation. $10 ticket doesn't make me do it. And those who don't care about that sort of thing, they're not going to be dissuaded by a $10 ticket either. So those sorts of laws, I don't think, do very much, but they add up. And primary seatbelt laws are a perfect example. Now a policeman can pull you over for your seatbelt and then find all kinds of other things wrong if they felt like it. I'm not saying that the police do that typically, but it's a dangerous precedent, I think, to set.
Now, do you think, and I also agree that it also sets up racial profiling problems, et cetera, but do you think that the government does have a role in telling you, look, you can do whatever you want as an adult, but kids have to be in this kind of a car seat and they have to be buckled in?
I could live with those sorts of things. I still think a bad parent will be a bad parent no matter how much government interference there are. And I would say this, there are laws across the country now where you're not allowed to smoke in a car with a child. I think there are worse things than secondhand smoke. For instance, the things you feed your child, does that mean government can now tell you what sorts of foods you should be giving your child or exercise you should be making them do? It gets dangerous. It's a slippery slope. I think less is better, for me at least. That's my default position typically.
Well, I'm with you. One of the ongoing themes of my show is parental responsibility and personal responsibility. And one of my pet peeves has always been the government's attempts, or rather, I guess I should say pandering politicians' attempts to get in there and play that role when it comes to the content we consume through our radios, through our televisions, and through the broadcast media. You don't find this as much in the print media. There's nobody telling you what you can and can't print in the Denver Post other than your bosses, right?
That's right. And I think if you want to be successful, that you watch what you do. And I think that I believe in the market. I believe that, you know, if there are Janet Jackson, that incident with Janet Jackson happened all the time, CBS would be out of business after a while. I think that most people know that and take care of themselves. I don't like the expanding role of the FCC. And I think the technology, however, is going to take over there. as far as the internet, which you can never control, satellite radio, that sort of thing. But I agree with you.
Yeah. And by the way, the technology actually is there for people to take more control of what they're doing with television and radio as well. I mean, if you've got cable TV or satellite TV, it comes with ratings locks available to you and channel locks. Every TV program has ratings on it that most TVs sold in the last decade come with the technology built into them that if you want to block those things, you can. The fact that Americans don't do that is not a message to the government to please do it for us, is it?
It is, I think, sometimes. But because here's the thing. The more we do these things, the more we make people behave in a certain way, in a moral way or, a salubrious way, what we're doing is we're creating more dependency as we go along. People now think the government is supposed to take care of them, as supposed to tell them what to eat. Or if every little thing is magnified, every little incident, and right away government comes in, every editorial page in the country practically for every problem has an editorial that asks for more government intervention, not less, and that's the problem.
Do you see a lot of this, particularly in what we are consuming? You mentioned smoking before, but also in the food world?
Yeah, I think that that's the next battle in the nanny state. A little bit harder because we all eat, and we all eat unhealthy foods occasionally. There are things like sin taxes, people who want to regulate food portions, folks who believe that fast food restaurants are at fault for the so-called obesity epidemic in this country. I think that is a tougher fight than smoking, which is more easily controlled or never controlled either. So, yeah.
So what do you mean by controlled?
Well, I can say that no bar can have smoking, but I can't say no restaurant can have unhealthy food, even though in L.A., for instance, recently there was a woman who wanted to create a health zone where you could only sell certain kinds of food.
How'd that work out?
It didn't get through, but this is how it works. First, there's a dumb idea. We all laugh at it, and like 10 years later, we're all doing it. You know, like, for instance, in California, they've banned smoking in your own home in a few places, and if you own a condo or live in an apartment. There are sin taxes. 10 years ago, that was an idea that was laughed at, and now there are cities that utilize that to try to sort of socially engineer what we eat. I think that obesity in this country is so complex that it's not just about what we eat. There are a million things going on. So that's why I think it's just more difficult to control that than smoking.
Yeah. And by the way, if you really think you're going to change America's eating lifestyle by passing more laws, I think you really don't understand that most people eat most of their meals in their own home.
Yeah. Well, they'll try to get in there if they can. I mean, I'm all for transparency. I want to know what I'm eating. I think government probably has a good role there to tell us what we're eating. That's all I need to know. I'm a grown adult. We're all adults now, and we can decide for ourselves and our kids what we eat.
You don't mean the government should tell us what we're eating. The government should perhaps have rules in place for the people who make what we're eating is what you mean, right?
Sure, so that there's transparency in ingredients and I know what I'm having. For instance, this ban on trans fats, and people laugh it off and tell me, well, who needs trans fats? Well, I don't need them, but it's only an unhealthy ingredient, not a poisonous ingredient. If we're going to start banning everything that's unhealthy or an ingredient that's unhealthy, food's going to stink, A, and B, it's impossible to really follow through with that anyway, I believe.
Well, I'm the one who keeps shouting, bring back cyclamates.
And saccharin?
Yeah, the more of that, the better. This is David Harsanyi, columnist for the Denver Post, whose new book is called Nanny State, here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. Is a lot of this, you know, we keep blaming it after politicians and the government, but is a lot of it, before it gets to the stage where they're doing something about it, because of special interest groups?
Sure, there are tons. When it comes to drinking, there's Mothers Against Drunk Driving, for instance, who did wonderful work early on, but now I believe they've sort of overstayed their charge or overextended their charge. I think I blame politicians for this. Very few politicians will stand up for the smoker or the overeater or the guy who goes to the strip club all the time. And that's a problem because really what they'd be standing up for is freedom of choice and responsibility, and they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
In the end, though, it's our fault for electing them and not electing the right people. And, of course, yes, there are tons of special interest groups. They put out studies to scare American people, and they soften them up. And then the lawmakers come in with the bad ideas, and no one really stands in their way.
When you say that we keep electing these people, that's because we don't pay attention to who votes for these sort of things.
No, these, there are big issues. And, I can't always blame the normal, you know, Joe who's going to work, he can't really pay attention to every little thing that's going on. He should probably do a better job, but there are big issues that we're focused on, and these little things don't seem like a lot, but I think when you roll them all together, it is the nanny state, and it's a concerted movement to control us, and I think it's dangerous.
Give me examples of where you think MAD has gone wrong.
Well, you know, they softly or sort of support zero tolerance laws, where they really believe from, you know, and I gather this in my book, that no one should have a single glass of wine and drive. You know, they're behind some interlock ignition stuff, where in New Mexico there was a lawmaker who proposed having interlock ignitions in every car, meaning you take a breathalyzer test before you drive. They praised that bill. You know, things like that, little things that I think would be tremendously intrusive for the normal person. The drunk driver is not going to care about these laws anyway. The law-abiding, peaceful person is the one who's going to be punished.
Well, I've had Chuck Hurley, the CEO of MAD, on the show, in fact, just recently, twice this year, in fact, and we've talked about the ignition interlocks, and I'm a proponent of, you know, anybody who is pulled over and convicted of DUI, even the first time, I think that they should have to have those on there. I haven't heard anybody from MAD publicly espouse an idea of making every vehicle come with an ignition interlock, though.
I have a quote from, I believe it's Chuck, saying that wouldn't it be a wonderful day if there would never be someone who was drinking and driving on the road, which is it would be a wonderful day. And he was speaking about this bill in New Mexico, I believe. It's in my book. But publicly they don't sound as bad as neo-prohibitionists as I think they are. And I agree with you, by the way. Once you break the law that we have in society, drunk driving is a terrible crime. It's attempted murder just by getting in the car. I think you should be punished. But I catalog a number of things they'd like to do that I think are neo-prohibitionist in the book.
The book is called Nanny State. I love the subtitle, How Food Fascists, Teetotaling Do-Gooders, Priggish Moralists, and Other Boneheaded Bureaucrats Are Turning America into a Nation of Children. David Harsanyi is my guest. We have the book featured now on the KMOX bookstore on KMOX.com. If you click and buy it via that link, a portion of the proceeds will go to help out our friends at St. Louis Children's Hospital. And we'll be back with more in a moment as the Paul Harris Show continues on KMOX. Well, by my math, we are now 2 weeks away from either TNT or TBS starting that 24-hour Christmas story marathon, the story of little Ralphie, the kid who wants to get himself a Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas. A theme, by the way, that pops up in Nanny State, the book by my guest David Harsanyi, because the government got involved in the sale of Red Ryder BB guns, or at least the Consumer Protection and Safety Commission wanted to get involved in that. David, tell that story, if you would.
Well, I was happy to see the other day they're back on the shelves in mass quantities. So, I don't have the book in front of me. I think it was, I forget what year this happened. It was in the 90s, I believe. And this sort of, it's an air BB gun, I guess. And it was deemed dangerous for kids, which I guess it is on some level, and pulled off the market. But it is back now, fortunately.
It was pulled off the market because some kids had died, but in a remarkably small number. I mean, not that any kids dying is a good thing. Certainly,
sure.
It's a tragedy any time the kid dies. But do you remember what the number was?
I think it was 13 over many years. Was it 30, over 30 years, I believe?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I know it was less than one kid per year.
Oh, yes. It was far. I think it was much less. Yeah, less than. And you can take almost any product and find those sorts of numbers and blow them up and scare people with it. For instance, I talk about the baby bath deal where you put it in the tub, and it was taken, or they tried to have that taken off the market because it was too safe. Parents felt too safe with their kids in it and walked away, and then the baby would unfortunately drown. So it's as if you can't win, you make your product too safe, it's no good, and if it's not safe, it's no good either. So,
and again, it was a case of, yes, we did have some tragedies occur, but in terms of the percentages of the number of these items that were sold, it was very, very small. I mean, it was like the toppling TV stories, which I'm sure you've seen. I think there have been six kids who have died from TVs falling on them in the last decade. And so we had to have stories about how you have to strengthen the stands and we have to inform people about this sort of thing. And the fact is, you're going to have stupid people and you are going to have kids dying in accidents.
It's a sad thing, but I'm sure you've seen these polls. People are scared of things that they shouldn't be scared of in life, and other things they don't even pay attention to. As you know, tons of people die from all kinds of injuries in bathtubs and elsewhere, and we don't ban bathtubs. Clearly, we couldn't. So you're right. I think that's the media's fault on some level for hyping these tragedies that happen occasionally, very occasionally, and making it into bigger deals than they are.
And in some cases, it's nothing more than a press release from a special interest group that is taken as fact.
Sadly, many reporters, and none at my paper, but some
and certainly
papers,
none at KMOX.
That's right. Take press releases and make stories out of them because we are in a very competitive business, and we need to have a lot of news out there. That's sad, and it's not really very good for the public.
But talk to me a little bit about the government's responsibility and their side of this. There was a woman named Anne Brown who was the head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission for several years, who was just horrible at her job, wasn't she?
I think so, and people like Anne Brown are driven by, they're on a higher moral plane than you or I, and they're crusading for safety, and they have an ideal, a utopian ideal that can never be met and shouldn't even be tried to be met because we can't make the world perfectly safe for everyone. She was one of those people who, when they get into government, sees themselves almost as with a religious viewpoint of helping me, whether I want to be helped or not. I think the government's role is not to take toys away from me, but to let me know which toys are safe, perhaps a rating on toys like they do video games, but not to ban things like Red Ryder BB guns.
I would say that it's much more important to make sure that the ones we're importing from China aren't made of lead.
Well, that's true, and if you see something made from China, I suspect a lot of people now won't buy it, even though they sometimes don't have much choice.
It really does come down to we're doing this for your own good, which is exactly what we don't need.
I think so, and what happens is that we've become used to the idea of government taking care of us, and now, at least I believe, from the federal government down to school boards, people think it's okay because of precedent to get involved in our lives. I believe that George Bush has expanded government too much and spent too much money, and money drives these things because the more money you have, the more government you have and the more business they have, and that typically means getting involved in your life.
I'm Paul Harris talking with David Harsanyi, who's the columnist for the Denver Post, who has written a terrific book called Nanny State, How Food Fascists, Teetotaling Do-Gooders, Priggish Moralists, and Other Boneheaded Bureaucrats Are Turning America into a Nation of Children. And David, we've got Dee with a question for you on KMOX. Hi, Dee. How are you today?
Oh, fine, thanks. This is an interesting topic. I just want to ask your guest if he can reconcile or at least comment on the insurance industry's role in all of this mess. Because you know, I'm a person who, I'm pretty healthy, I exercise, I don't smoke, but I pay in insurance rates to make up for those people who do those things. So from my perspective, I'm thinking, yeah, maybe the government should tell them to cut it out when I'm financially responsible for a piece of it. And maybe he can comment on that.
David?
Well, that's the strongest argument for the nanny state, I think, the externalities argument that we all pay for bad behavior. And I think the further we collectivize and socialize medicine, the more my neighbor is going to feel like he should have a say in what I'm doing. That is an important problem. I think, though, that in a free country, we have to say to ourselves that we will pay for other people's dangerous activity on some level, or we could outlaw every single dangerous activity out there, riskful behavior. I wish we would. I think the best way to get around that is to allow for more competition in the insurance industry and let smokers have their own sorts of insurance together and let insurance companies do what they want on some level. I doubt that's going to happen. I think we're headed in the other direction.
But, Dee, let me ask you, because if you're going to make laws about what people can put in their mouth and inhale, aren't we just a step away from laws about what you can put in your own mouth and eat? And people always talk about the obesity problem in this country, which I think, if you'll pardon the phrase, is extremely overblown. But I think that there are people who would make that same argument. Hey, you shouldn't be eating so much pizza and so many cheeseburgers and so much chocolate because that's making you fatter and that's making my health insurance costs go up.
Well, no, I actually agree that I think that there. I don't believe in a government intervention. I certainly don't want the government telling me what I should or shouldn't eat. However, I think that there needs to be some serious, serious rehaul of the way insurance industries assess these things. Because, again, penalizing me as a person who does live healthy for the actions of other adults, that doesn't work either.
Well, I think the way it works, correct me if I'm wrong here, David, is if you're a smoker, you probably pay more for insurance. If you're a fat person, you probably pay more for insurance. So there's your penalty.
Well, I'm not sure, but there's caps on how much more you can pay, and that's, I think, a problem. I think there would be a natural balance here if they let insurance companies charge people who are unhealthy more. But I think typically there's a cap on how much more you can charge. There are all kinds of laws about that. But also, I'm not sure about the obesity thing, but surely for smoking, I know that's a fact.
All right, Dee, thanks for calling. David, what can the average American do about these sort of things? We can certainly complain about them, and I know that I do on a regular basis, as you do in your columns, but is there any way to change this?
Well, I have to say, and my publicist always wants to kill me, but I'm very pessimistic. I mean, I don't see any change. I think what we can do is pay more attention. You know, pay attention to the school board that wants to ban tag. Don't let them do it. Or, you know, pay attention to your local representatives, because it typically these things begin on local levels, in school boards, city councils. Most of my neighbors don't even know who their city council person is, I believe. So that's where it begins. The president sometimes doesn't have as much say over your life as a city council person may.
Yeah, you're not going to get any of the presidential candidates to give you a real answer on why your kid can't play dodgeball anymore. And I'm not sure that we would want them to do that, considering it is a decision made at the local level. And by the way, you write extensively in the book about ridiculous things on tag, bans on tag and dodgeball and others. And it really comes down to not only are we having the government take care of us as adults, but telling us how to take care of our kids by skipping over us and making those rules for the kids without our intervention.
Absolutely. It's a hyper-risk aversion that we're trying to make our kids adhere to, and I think we're trying to scare them. Fortunately, I think kids don't exactly fall for this stuff, and they will find ways to live their to be kids. So they're the last hope in some ways, for me at least.
Well, I think that's true for adults as well.
It is, I don't know if it's as we become older or the whole American psyche has changed on some level, but I think that we're far more ready to let other people take care of us than we were 20, 30 years ago as adults. I think it's, some of the language that politicians use now, even, let's say, Democrats, they never would have used 20, 30 years ago. And certainly we've gone a long way from what Reagan, at least rhetorically, said as far as our candidates today. I think that everything's changed.
We're doing this for your own good, because without us, you'll shoot your eye out, Ralphie.
Right, exactly. I hope everyone watches that movie and learns a lesson.
Yeah, I think in the book you use the phrase culture of dependence, and yeah. I think that's exactly what it's become.
Well, people have to ask themselves, what's more important, freedom or safety, freedom or political correctness? You know, these are the questions you have to ask yourself, I think at least, and I hope that freedom is the answer for most people.
And by the way, whoever said that freedom doesn't come with risks?
Sure, it has to, actually. I mean, the whole idea of free will is that you have the wrong choice available as well.
One of the great things about this country, the right to be stupid.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nice
job.
We practice all the time.
We both get paid pretty well for it, don't we?
Yeah.
Nice job on the book. Thanks for your time today.
I appreciate you having me. Thanks.
It's called Nanny State. David Harsanyi, a columnist for the Denver Post. There'll be links to it on my website, harrisonline.com, and you can buy the book via the link on KMOX.com. Just click on the bookstore, and when you do that, a portion of the proceeds goes to St. Louis Children's Hospital.